Line, Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. And hey, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Tennessee Superbook is the number one sports book in Las Vegas. Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason, Willie Donick joins the conversation. And joining us now is Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. Elliot, one thing that I've noticed with the Predators so far is they can beat some of the bad teams, they can beat the Montreals, and they can beat the Anaheims of the world, but they struggle beating the good teams. On the road to Carolina, hostile environment, very good team. How do the Predators beat a good team tonight?
You know what, Carolyn, you're tough. I got to say that. Every time I come on, I know I better be ready. You know, I look at this matchup tonight, and I look at Carolina. One thing they're getting Pacioretty back today, and he's going to be raring to go. They better be ready. The first time that guy hits the ice, he's been out all year. They're really hoping he's going to be a huge part of their team tonight. Like that, Carolina is going to. They just lost for the first time in 12 games. They're going to be wired to play this game tonight, and I think if they're not careful, right from the moment the puck drops, it's going to be a tough night for them. There's no question about it.
Elliot, in thinking about that, I'm looking at some of the guys that they made moves for, and Pacioretty, of course, is one of them, but also Brent Burns. Even Paul Stastny, some veteran guys. It's really interesting how Carolina has been very good, but they always seem to find some tweaks, and it seems like all the moves they made from last year to this year have made them even more powerful.
Well, I think they're a pretty smart organization, for one thing. They, I like their team a lot. I think that they do a lot of smart things. For example, one of the things they don't do is they don't believe in rentals or trading big pieces for rentals. Like last year, they could have made a couple of big moves. I heard at the deadline, and the owner came right in and said, no, we're not doing that. I don't like that philosophy. They're a big analytics team. Their coach is a very much a player's coach. Brendan Moore is a very, very popular guy among his players. He was a really good player himself. I just think that they tend to look at things, I don't know if I would say a lot differently than other teams, but they have some different rules that they really stick to. You know, Dougie Hamilton was a really good defenseman for them a couple of years ago, and they just said, look, he's going to a place where he's not going to be at a number that we think his value is where it is. And so they let him go. They actually allowed NHL teams to talk to him before the free agent window officially opened. They sent the letters, excuse me, guys, saying anyone could talk to him. And a lot of teams wouldn't do that. And, you know, they lost him, but they filled in some other pieces. The other thing too is I remember a couple of years ago they had an assistant coach, Dean Chenault, who's now in Toronto, and he thought he could do better than what they offered him salary-wise. And they said, look, if you think you can go out there and find a better deal or a deal you like more, you have our permission to go out and do it. And he did in Toronto, and then they replaced him. One of the things they do that's really interesting about that is they have limits to where they'll go, and they have stuck to those limits. So I don't think that's the easiest thing to do all the time, but it's kind of the way they go about things. They do a really good job of finding players, and, you know, they haven't been able to win yet, but they're always good. And that's one of the reasons I think that they're successful, because they have rules and they stick to those rules.
Elliot, before we get back into the Predators and some of the other things going on in hockey, I know you had a chance to go to the Winter Classic at Fenway Park. I know you had a really good time getting out there. It's been a couple years, I think, since you'd been to a Winter Classic. Tell us about your Fenway experience.
Well, it was spectacular. I have to say it was one of the best ones that I've ever been to. You know, the only thing that was a bit of a concern was the game, the first two periods. Sorry, I woke up with a bit of a dry throat today. The first two periods were a little slow, but the third period was really good, and the event was really good. You know, the fans had a great time. You could tell. I really do think that a lot of people, they see these things and they're like, oh, another outdoor game. It's not that interesting to me. It's not so much for the TV audience. It's for the people who go. Like, you guys have had the opportunity now to have one there and be at the one in Dallas. And I just think if you get a chance to go to these things, you go and you have a great time. I thought the fans had a spectacular time. I thought the venue looked dynamite. We did our podcast sitting on top of the monster seats. That was a real career highlight for me. It was a great experience. And I think every market deserves to have one of these games. Every market, the fans should be able to say, we had a chance to go see it, because it's a lot of fun. If you go there and you have a bad time, chances are you're the problem.
Well, you got to tell Merrick to get to a Red Sox game. That is a travesty that he hasn't been down there.
Oh my God!
To get to a Sox game, get him going on that. But
Merrick is embarrassing for a lot of different reasons, and that's just one of them.
Well, Elliot, you know, the Predators are in that situation. Caroline said it; they're playing better, and they've decisively beaten some of the poor teams that are obviously tanking. We talked about Connor Bedard next week, and he continues to put on a show up in Canada in the World Juniors. They eliminated Team USA yesterday. But I understand this is the time of year where you're a couple months out from the trade deadline, but a lot of scouts and people come together. They start evaluating where everybody is. How important is it for teams that are sort of on that fence to almost show management, hey, we belong in the playoff chase. We're not throwing in our hats here. We want to win.
You know, I have a feeling, Willie, we might see the other direction here. I don't know how much you guys have been watching the World Juniors, but this kid up here, his name is Connor Bedard. He's from British Columbia. He plays for a Western Hockey League team, the Regina Pats. He's an incredible talent. And he's playing for Team Canada up here at the World Juniors, and they're playing for the gold medal tonight against Czechia. They beat the Americans last night in the semifinals. And when they scored, like, the U.S. got out to a big start. It was 2-0. It could have been a lot worse. He scored to get Canada back into the game. And when he scored, that was the 2-1 goal. He'd been involved in 65% of Canada's goals in the tournament. He's also the highest scoring Canadian World Junior of all time. He passed Eric Lindros' record. And when he initially passed it, I think he got it in 7 or 8 fewer games. He's going to rejuvenate a franchise. And one of the talks right now is, our team's just going to openly tank it now just to get better lottery ball picks. And I have a feeling you're going to see some teams doing it. Now, it's hard to make trades in the NHL right now because the cap situation was pretty tight. There was a really good player on waivers yesterday, Jacob Vrana from Detroit. And I think there were only 6 teams that had the cap room to be able to go get him. And I just look at that. I just look at this kid. And once your fans see it, like, there's a kid in the NBA who's going to be in the NBA next year, Wembanyama, the French kid. The moment he came over and played in that tournament in October and all the North American fans saw what he was about, they were like, okay, we understand why our team's going to tank for this player. I think now that Bedard has finally been on this biggest stage, I think you're going to see teams, fans say, okay, it's all right if we tank for this player. Now, the lottery odds aren't great. It's still very hard to win the lottery in this league, but I think some teams are going to say it's worth it because this kid is an incredible player, and this is actually a really good draft too. There's a few other really good players behind him. So I really wonder, Willie, if it's going to go the other way around in this league.
Yeah, and so it's interesting for teams like Nashville that are built right now to win? You know, the rap on Nashville is, hey, they've been to the playoffs the last few years, but they haven't made any noise. They added Nino Niederreiter, who comes back to Raleigh tonight. They added Ryan McDonough. They certainly didn't do that to try to tank, but they're sitting there on the bubble, need to make up some ground. There's usually, like, I had a fan notify me the other day that the 2017 Predator team had almost the same identical record on January 3rd as this Predator team. But they found another gear. We know what happened. They came within two wins of winning the whole thing. And there's usually a story or two like that. But I that's why I think this is such a critical crossroads for a lot of those teams that are in that situation.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see where this goes. I think what David Poole decides to do is going to be pretty fascinating. I mean, I had some Predators fans send me some DMs this week about the Ekholm report that came out, and I do think you guys are going to do something on your blue line. I don't know that it's going to be specifically Ekholm, but I do think you guys are going to do something on your blue line. But I guarantee you that there's going to be fans out there who are going to say, we have to go for the lottery balls. And I don't always think it's so easy as an organization to do it, because that basically means you're punting on half a season, and no organization likes to do it. But I've been talking to some teams that have been out there, and there's definitely that conversation going on, as in, okay, like, and in one tournament like this shouldn't make up your mind. I think everybody knew this kid was special, but now allowing the fans to see it gives you more license to do it. Like, I look at you guys, you're sitting there, you're 4 points out of the playoffs, you've got three games in hand. Like, your math is pretty good. Your points percentage is below Calgary and Edmonton as it stands right now. And there's Colorado there too. Like, you have to believe Colorado is going to be okay. Your math is all right. You kind of control your own destiny. But the one thing is, David Poole's been around a long time. He knows how good his teamer is or isn't. And I am really curious about what he thinks.
Now, Elliot, I was going to ask you about the Ekholm, the rumors about the Ekholm trade. You pretty much answered that. But Fabro, again, has been a scratch. This is the third time.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, Derek, I think what it means to me is that he's not at the level that they expected he was going to be at. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the other things that's happened in this league is, you know, Dante Favreau, he's in a situation where he's got his contract is up, and they have to give him a minimum number to keep his rights. And it's basically the same as what he's making this year, which I think is $2.4 million. We have started to see a few more situations around the NHL when the cap has been tight. We'll see where the cap goes, where it goes. But where teams have started to walk away from what's called a qualifying offer. Like, Carolina did it with a goaltender a couple years ago, Alex Nedeljkovic. He was a really good goalie. He had a good season. But he was due about $3 million on a qualifying offer. And Carolina said, we don't think that makes sense for us. And they walked away from it. And there's been a couple more situations like that. What I'm looking at right now is I see a situation where Nashville's thinking about that. You know, obviously they feel he's not at the level they wanted. And I do think something is going to give on their blue line. You've got to extend Carrier. He looks like he's a player. And you've got some other extensions that you have to deal with in your roster too. So whether it's Favreau, whether it's Ekholm, you know, I've even wondered, and this is my opinion, nobody in Nashville has told me this, but I wondered if it could be McDonough maybe getting flipped to another team. But I do think something is going to happen on that blue line. And I think he's going to try to open up some cap room a little bit that way.
Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, we appreciate you for joining us every week. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
You too.
You too.
Elliot Friedman, appreciate him for joining us every Thursday at 1 o'clock. Coming up next, D-Mace and I have a difference of opinion. What does Willie think? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.